You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. I've enjoyed the singing tonight. Enjoyed the special music. Appreciate little sis sharing her voice with us tonight. Thank the Lord. Of course, I don't know about you, I hadn't got over that "How Great Thou Art" yet. I was some time ago studying old Stuart Hines' life, and I was not aware of it myself. Maybe you were. I was not aware of it. It took him 20 years to translate this song, "How Great Thou Art." And he translated it from a Swedish song into English. And every verse is a story of something that happened to him and led him further into this translation. I was extremely interested in verse 3, the one he said we shouldn't leave out. Stuart Hines said that he came upon a Russian village one day after World War II, and American soldier had dropped a Bible when he had gone through there. There was a lady in the village. She had taught herself English so that she could read that Bible. And he said when he came through the village, he said she was sitting in the middle of the village reading that English Bible out loud to a bunch of Russians that couldn't speak English. And he said they were bowing all around her getting saved and couldn't understand a word she was saying. And he penned the words, "And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die," he said, "I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin." I'm glad we've got a Savior to be proud of tonight. He is a great God, a great God. Well, how many of you are here tonight? Well, thank you, sis. Me and you are here. Let's try it again. How many of you are here tonight? Oh, praise God, the rest of you come in. That's a blessing. We've been preaching since Monday evening on various and sundry people in the Bible and their relationship with a tree, being rightly related with a tree. We looked at Adam and Eve. They were behind the tree of the fallen. We brought some thoughts on Elijah. He was under a tree, tree of the fainting. I appreciate the Lord helping us last evening as we looked at David. He was like a tree, the tree of the fruitful. I turn our attention tonight, if I could, to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19. I'm very reluctant to look at this one. This is Zacchaeus up a tree, and it is the tree of the favored. One of the reasons that I'm reluctant to look at this story tonight is because of our familiarity with it. I am very well aware tonight that familiarity can breed contempt. And one can believe that he knows all there is to know about this story. I'm always fascinated with this story. It seems like every time I read it, it seems like they have rewritten it since the last time I was there. And it seems like something jumps out. I would assure you tonight that this story is much bigger than the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. It is much bigger than that. It is a time when Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ come along and favored an old lost sinner by the name of Zacchaeus. And if you would pardon the expression, he treed him. I'm not testify for you tonight. I'm not go out on that limb. But I bless the day he treed me. And I had to come down. He had become irresistible to me. Notice the text, if you would, beginning to read in verse number 1, Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down, received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man as a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus up a tree. Tree of the favored. As we begin to unpack this story tonight, I would want to draw our attention first of all tonight to Zacchaeus' horrible state. Zacchaeus' horrible state. We are confronted with the state of self. I don't know if you have noticed it before, but God has meticulously woven into this story three strikes against Zacchaeus. Three strikes and you are out. I notice one of those strikes, the Bible tells us in chapter 19 and verse number 2, that he was a publican. You're well aware that a publican was a tax collector. Very despicable position of that day. They were low-life bottom feeders. Anybody was a tax collector, they had thief written all over them. But he was not just a tax collector. The scripture says he was chiefed among the tax collectors. That little word chief there, first in rank, the leader or the authority over. I don't know about you. I'm not testify for you. I don't care much for IRS agents. I just don't have a lot of love for them. I have been audited twice and I was glad I had all of my credentials. But Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was not just an IRS agent. He was the director of the IRS. And if possible, you're here tonight and you have some kind of connections with the IRS. My name is Bob Lucilius. Keep that on tape too. I noticed another strike that he had against him. The Bible says that in verse 2, he was rich. The scripture says it is very hard for a rich man to go to heaven. He said it would be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle
than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Of course, I wouldn't be too hard on rich people. I've seen poor people more possessed with money sometime than rich people. But that was a strike against him. He's in a horrible state. He's in a state of self. I thought it was interesting. The third strike is in verse number 3. He was little of stature. He probably had always carried this nickname, Shorty, Runt. And I don't know, in high school days, I ran around with a couple of boys that were short. And they made up for it in their loud mouth and their braggadocious ways. You could hear them a block before they got there. So it was with Zacchaeus. He was a chief of the tax collectors. He was rich, and he was shorty. What a horrible state to be in. But, you know, it's always far worse than you think. Notice not only the state of his self, but notice the state of his seeking. The Bible says in verse number 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I'm extremely interested in these next three words. They're awful powerful. You know, there's a lot of talk today. I hear people, I've heard preachers here recently tell people, if you want to get saved, you can. It's a lie. Because Zacchaeus wanted to see him. He had a desire. But he had this little problem. The scripture says he could not. It wasn't about desire. It was all about ability. See, tonight, you're getting salvation and you getting saved has nothing to do with your desire. It has all to do with his ability. Wow. I hear people saying all the time, boy, I wish I'd have got saved when I was young. You couldn't. You can't get saved until he saves you. And he decides who gets it, when they get it, and how they get it. That's why old Jonah, he had to get in the whale's belly before he figured out that salvation was of the Lord. I could imagine evangelists swimming by the whale and knocking on old Jonah's whale and say, hey Jonah, you want to make a decision? I'm sure he'd have probably hollered back, no, that's how I got in here. Are you listening to me tonight? He had no ability. I was thinking about that little thought of could not. I've got a dear preacher friend. I love him to death. He told me and some other friends recently that he believed in the total depravity of man. But he did not believe in the total inability of man. I did not know if you noted or not, but the two go together. If you believe in total depravity, you believe in total inability. You have no ability to get to God. It doesn't matter if you want to or not. God decides if you can or if you can't. I was thinking about the scriptures and what they say about what a man can and cannot do. If you've got your Bible there, look at a few of them with me quickly. One of them is in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter number 3. This one was made so aware to Nicodemus. He says in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. What's the little phrase here? He cannot see the kingdom. See, it has nothing to do with desire. Has nothing... I dare some say tonight there would be nobody in this building that would stand up and say, I want to go to hell when I die. But just because you don't want to go to hell tonight doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with your desire tonight. But could I plug this in? You'll never go to heaven unless you have a desire. Wow. Man, he's got the corner on this thing. What's some other things that you cannot do? He's got the market on. Notice another one in John chapter 6, verse number 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I was interested in that little word draw. The little word draw means to force, push, or shove. Wow. The only way you'll ever get to the Father is if He shoves you. I was in a service some time ago and a dear lady sung a song. And before she sung, she made a stupid statement. She said, God was a gentleman. He wouldn't make you do anything you don't want to do. I leaned over to my wife and I whispered to her, I said, you think Jonah thought he was a gentleman? Hello. See, this thing's not about you wanting to. Maybe I could, with my salesmanship ability, talk you into it. Oh, no. It's all about Almighty God giving you the ability to believe. It's all about Him tonight. Has nothing to do with me. I thought another one was interesting that's always stuck out to me in this cannot world. If you've got your Bible there, 2 Peter. This one has always been such a blessing to me in disguise. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. He said, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. You and I, you can want to all you want to quit doing what you're doing, but you can't quit what you're doing unless He gives you the ability. It's all about Him tonight. This thing is about Him. I thought one more I would lay before you thinking tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number 14. But the natural man, that is that part of us where our free will lies. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God. With my free will, I can choose a red car over a green car. But I can't of my free will choose into that world. Unless He makes me willing. Are you listening to me tonight? No man seeks after God unless God gives him an ability to seek after Him. You know, I'm not against soul winning, as they call it today. I've got gospel tracts in my pocket. My daddy taught me from a young age I ought not to go out unless I had my gun loaded. But, you know, all man has tonight is the problem and inability. All God's got is the solution and all the ability. I find myself wanting to talk to God more about man than talking to man about God. Because I'm telling you, if God don't come this way, you can talk to your blue in the face to man, but He's not going that way. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, here, there was the state of seeking. Oh, Zacchaeus had a desire. He wanted to, but he had a problem. He could not. I'm telling you tonight, if you sense the least bit that God's giving you the ability to believe, you better run for it, hon. You better run for it. I wouldn't even wait till I get done preaching. I'd take a shot at it right now. Are you listening to me tonight? Notice not only in our text back in Luke chapter number 19, Zacchaeus' horrible state. But could I mention Zacchaeus' humbling step? Zacchaeus' humbling step. I notice in chapter number 19 and verse number 4, he makes a humbling admission. The Bible says he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. You ever given any thought as to what he admitted to everybody around that tree when he climbed up in it? He admitted to everybody on the ground, I can't see. Now, I don't know how you feel about it. For a short boy to admit that, that is a big mother may I step. Most short people would have stayed in the crowd and said, I won't see him anyway. This is a big move for Zacchaeus. You would almost think that God was drawing him up the tree. Wow. He's a big old God, ain't he? He has climbed up in this tree. He is admitting his own inability. Send a friend tonight, you'll never get saved until you admit you can't save yourself. And you can do nothing to get saved if God don't come to you. You're sunk. There was a humbling admission. But I notice in chapter number 19 and verse number 10, Zacchaeus' humbling step, not only was there a humbling admission, but there was a holy commission. A holy commission. He says in verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save everybody. It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. It says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's a very interesting concept. I was interested in the word seek. The word seek means to plot with purpose and plan. He didn't just be happen along and say, so what that nut doing up in? No. He has plotted, purposed, and planned the treeing of this old boy. Do you realize the day or the hour or the time you got saved that God plotted and planned and purposed the whole thing? You really think you had a part in it. Oh gracious, you was on the little end of something big. Are you listening to me tonight? Came with a holy commission. He came to seek and to save. The little word save means to deliver from a flowing river of perishing. Old Zacchaeus, he is in the perishing river. He's fixing to go over the dam. Here one has come with purpose, with plan, and a plotting, meticulous plan to save his soul. You see, preacher, doesn't he seek and save everybody? Uh-uh. He says he only seeks and saves that which was lost. That's an interesting concept, lost. The little word lost there is having an overwhelming feeling of perishing. An overwhelming feeling of perishing. Feel like you're going to hell now. That's what has set in on Zacchaeus. I was wondering tonight, I asked you this Monday night, I thought I'd ask you again tonight. Do you have a lost testimony? You got a lost testimony? Make yourself a note. I ain't saved. You can't get saved, you get lost. You get lost first. See, tonight, religion is you coming to God. Old time Holy Ghost salvation, God coming to you. It's all about what God did, not about what you did. I hear people that tell their testimony sometimes. They talk all about what they did. Well, no, it's not about what you did. It's about what he did. It was lost. I love what old B.B. Caldwell said years ago. Somebody asked old Caldwell, said, are you getting anybody saved? He said, no, I quit. Man, an itinerant evangelist preached all over, really all over the world. Make a statement like that. Quit trying to get people saved. They said, well, Caldwell, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm trying to get people lost now. He said, if they get lost, they'll get saved. I don't know if this will ring true to you tonight. God only saves lost people. And he will save all lost people. If you ever get lost, it's because God has put it in your heart. And God will save lost people. How long will he seek them? Luke 15 says he'll seek them till he finds them. I love the hound out of that. He ain't going to miss you tonight if you're lost. He's the one that's put lostness in your soul. I can remember several years ago, my wife and I had gone over to Atlanta. One of our boys was at Clearwater Bible College, and he was playing basketball and had a game over there in Atlanta. And it was not in a good section of Atlanta, as if there is any good sections of Atlanta, but this was a real bad section of Atlanta. And I could see I-20, but I couldn't get on it. There was a fence between, and I tried everything I know to do, and I couldn't find out how to get on I-20. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. There was a gentleman standing on the corner. He had a table set up with a cloth on it, and he was selling incense. Now, I don't know what else he was selling. I did not ask him. He had several of his brands of incense sitting along there burning and had the package there where you could buy it. I gave him $5 to get me on I-20. I'd have given him my Visa card if he'd have wanted it. How come? I was lost! And I want it out. If you ever get lost tonight, a crowd like this won't bother you. You are going to get you some help, a bus tonight. There won't nobody have to come back there and pump you up and see if you'll come. Honey, if God ever hangs you out over lostness, business will pick up. Are you listening to me tonight? Zacchaeus' humbling step. Could I mention another little fault tonight? Not only do I see his horrible state, his humbling step, but I notice Zacchaeus is harvesting Savior. The Bible tells us, chapter number 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That little word passed is a very interesting concept. It, as it is connected with verse number 4, for he was to pass that way. That both of those phrases there, they are phrases of providence. He did not accidentally come through Jericho. No, he planned the whole thing. Do you remember the woman at the well? He said he must needs go through Samaria. It's, when he saves people, it's not, man, I didn't know they was going to get it today. Oh no. Plans it with purpose. I don't know about you. I'm not testify for you. I thank God for the day. Soon be, just a few days from now, July the 14th, 1968, when he passed by my way in Chesapeake, Virginia. And saved my rotten soul. Oh, he treed me like I had never been treed before. Oh, he is a purposeful Savior tonight. But notice chapter 19 and verse number 5. He's a precious Savior. He's a precious Savior. You say, preacher, what makes him precious in this text? You be the judge. I'll not be the judge for you. The Bible says in verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, time out! Hold on! I've got a problem. How did he know his name? Zacchaeus? Wow. Man. You say, preacher, don't he know everybody's name? No, he does not. By his own testimony, he says he does not know everybody's name. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Do you remember that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom and the rich man went to hell? You ever thought why the rich man ain't got no name? Because God never was going to save him. See, tonight if you die and go to hell for all eternity, you'll be old whatchamacallit. He never knew you at all. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God know you by name. I'm glad that he knows me. Out of all the Toms, he knows what Tom this is. Hallelujah. Well, stop right there and have a smile break. I know y'all ain't going to shout because you're Yankees, but we could get happy and smile. He knows my name. Oh, I love what Jesus said in John's Gospel. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and he calleth them by name. I love what he says in Matthew 7. He said, many will come one day and said, we know you. We did this for you. We did this in your name. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, he's a precious Savior tonight. I'm glad tonight when he was on the cross, I was on his name. I'm glad tonight that Jesus says, if you'll profess me before men, he said, I'll tell the Father about you. Wow, what a precious Savior we have tonight. Could I look at one last thought? And I'm done. I notice not only his horrible state, his humbling step, his harvesting Savior, but could I quickly mention Zacchaeus' hallowed salvation? His hallowed salvation. I notice that his salvation involves a revelation and a regeneration. The Bible tells us in verse number 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus! Always in revelation and regeneration, there's a call. You and I that love to share our gospel with others, all we can ever give is a general call to a person. All I can give you is a general call tonight. Oh, anybody here thirsty? Let him come and drink. Whosoever will, let him come. That's all I can do. But you can rest assured of one thing. God has never given a general call to the gospel. He always gives an effectual call. He calls your heart. Only call that I can give you tonight will penetrate to your ears. But I assure you tonight, if God ever calls you, you'll hear it down here. I remember the morning that he called me, Tom Gillen! I didn't hear it here. I heard it here. Oh, I thought it was awful deep, maybe over our head, as to Zacchaeus' response to Zacchaeus! Notice what he did in verse number 6.
He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. See, the salvation was not in the receive. The salvation was in the call. I love that, don't you? It wasn't about what Zacchaeus did. It's about what Jesus did. Oh, I love that, don't you? Gracious tonight. It is not in what I've done. When God quickens me, brings me to life, gives me the gift to believe, gives me ears to hear, it's all about Him. I had none of those abilities until He gave them to me. But watch this. Zacchaeus' hallowed salvation. Not only does it involve revelation and regeneration, but it involves repentance and restitution. Repentance and restitution. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold," time out, hold on. Did Zacchaeus just call him Lord? Didn't Paul say something about no man can call him Lord apart from the Holy Ghost? Wow. This old boy's on the road to repentance. He's in the Lordship. Gracious man. And Doc, he didn't even read your book on the way down. Man, he's got it. Lord! Wow. Are you listening to me tonight? There is a step of repentance. He says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." This repentance, many have defined it as a change of mind about sin. The word literally, if you study it out, means to take a 180 degree turn in your life. You're walking along one way, God arrests you and saves your soul. You make a total turn from what you were doing. I don't know about you, most Baptists I see getting saved today, after they get saved, they do a 360. And they're still going the same way they were going before. Not Zacchaeus. There's been a change in this old boy. You can tell he's not a Baptist. I don't believe Zacchaeus was a Baptist. How come? He ain't in the tithing. He's in the giving 50%. Wow. Man, there's something happened to him since he come down out of that tree. He got a big case of it. I remember when the day the Lord dealt with me about quitting tithing and start giving. I was all excited one day about the fact that He had died for me. And he said, "Why are you all excited about that?" He said, "Let's renegotiate that giving thing you've been doing." He said, "You've been giving 10 and keeping 90. He said, "Let's renegotiate that." Wow. I never looked at it like that. Of course, if I was in a business with you and you were keeping 90 and giving me 10, I want to renegotiate too. Hello. He told me. He said, "I'd like for you to start cutting me 15% right off the top." He said, "I don't care if you lose everything you got. You got to go to the next meeting on a Greyhound bus." And he said, "Every time I speak to you," he said, "bump it up 1%. I ain't going to tell you where I'm at tonight, but I'm way down the road from that. But God's put it in my heart to give most of it away and keep a little bit of it for myself." You say, "You crazy. Don't pinch me and wake me up. I give my way out of debt. I've had 8 cars given to me since I've been in evangelism." I'm telling you, when Zacchaeus come down out of that tree, not only had he repented, he had made restitution, paid back fourfold everybody he had stole from, and started giving 50% of everything he had to God. Wow! This old boy has sure enough got saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of you, wherever you go to church,
if you give a 50% offering, just your annual income, just give 50% of it this Sunday. Number one, the preacher gonna drop dead. Hello. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, what a wonderful change in Zacchaeus' life. Oh, what a wonderful change in my own life when Jesus came into my heart. I was thinking tonight about old C.S. Lewis, agnostic professor there at Oxford University when God saved him. Well, C.S. Lewis said the day that God saved him, he said he met God as the masterful angler. What? Master angler. Well, C.S. Lewis said he felt it when God set the hook. I remember the day God set the hook in me. About all I could hear after he set the hook was this. Well, C.S. Lewis said the day God saved him, he said he met God as a master chess player. He said God slipped up to me and whispered in my ear, "Lewis, checkmate. You have no more moves." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if God was to come in here, set the hook in some of you, checkmate you. Oh, what a glorious night it would be. I remember the day that God treed me. My mom and daddy was missionaries. My daddy's gone now. My mama still does mission work down at the retirement center where she lives. Matter of fact, there where Dr. Lucilius goes to church. They still support my mama. But I was a heathen growing up. Didn't want anything to do with that God. They took me to church when it wasn't even having church. I just figured they weren't having church. There wasn't nobody there but us. And I always said they drugged me. They drugged me from church to church. And when I got old enough, I'd had it right up to there. I was sick and tired of my daddy telling me what to do. Oh, I'd had enough of it. Oh, gracious. You realize my daddy would check the odometer at night to see how far I had driven his car. The craziest thing in the world, do a young man like that. And my daddy had a curfew. I had to be in at 11 o'clock. And he never did wait up for me. He always went to bed. In my bed. Wow. I got to wake him up. You know what he always asks me when I wake him up? What time is it? I'd had enough of that. Just right up to my neck with that. I finally ended up in Alexandria, Virginia in jail. Cell doors closed. I was in for a good rap. Old judge up there in Alexandria, Virginia, he told me, he said, "If you'll go join the army," he said, "I'll fix it where you've never been in Alexandria, Virginia." I said, "Wow. 3 years in jail, 3 years in the army." Take 3 years in the army. But I'd had it right up here to mom and daddy. So I joined the army. Wow. Man, them fellas in the army called me things daddy and mama ain't never called me, especially in those combination of words. Wow. That Sunday morning before I went into the army on Monday, my mom and dad had been part of starting a church in Chesapeake, Virginia. They were meeting in a florist, a nursery garden. It was called Coleman's Nursery. It was Faith Baptist Church, Chesapeake, Virginia. My pastor's still there. He's been there 43 years. The church started 43 years ago, and I got saved 43 years ago, first year. I always call him on July the 14th, tell him, "Preacher, I still got it." But I was sitting on that back row right about where the green blouse Gail's sitting tonight. And Mama had turned around, and she had seen me. She had smiled. I'd smile back at her. And there was a couch back there is where I was sitting on, and I was going to take a long winter's nap. And the preacher was preaching on a woman at the well. And the more he preached, the more awake I got. And of course, I've been introverted all my life. Been in 10th grade 3 times. Took 0 on all oral book reports. Would never dress out for gym. None of those kind of things. Before the preacher got done preaching, I left that seat, come down the aisle, hollering, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved this morning. If somebody would have told me I was going to do that before we got there this morning, I'd say, you crazy. There ain't no way I'm going to ever act that foolish like that in public. 2 men took me in the back, and for over 1 hour, they took me down to Romans Road, German Road, to French Road. They tried to get me to pray the sinner's prayer. I never have prayed it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I never prayed it. I couldn't quit crying long enough to pray it. So after about 1 hour, they just prayed it themselves. But I know one thing. God kick it back in out of me and empty me that day and fill me with Himself. He treed me on that back row back there and saved my glorious salvation of my soul. And I am forever grateful, forever grateful. I know that I'm going to step out on a limb right now, especially a southern boy asking Yankees to do this. But I was wondering tonight if some of you would like to maybe give us the shortened version, not the Joe version, the shortened version of when God treed you and saved your soul. He said, if you'll confess me before men, He said, I'll confess you before the Father. You don't have to stand up. If you don't stand up, that'd be great. But say it loud enough so we can hear it. Maybe just tell us about the time, or maybe the date, or how long ago it was. Maybe just a little bit of the details. You don't have to go into as many details as I went into. Who's going to be first? Grace, don't everybody just thank you, sister. Oh, I'm so glad. I was afraid nobody would.
Oh. Didn't know anything about salvation, but I was there after the service, and we were fellowshipping, and I knew if the ground opened up, I was falling into hell.
Oh.
I was going to be lost. And that whole night, I just thanked God, and I cried. I said, God, I don't even understand this.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to hell. Oh. And yet He reached down, and He saved me that very
oh,
night.
Oh, what a Savior.
But I knew something was different. I had something that they did not have in that church.
Hallelujah.
And I glorified God that he saw me, and He called Sheriff Weisner. And I said, I glorified Him and called Him Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thanks. Someone else tonight? Everybody jump at once now. We'll have a... Okay, do it, preacher.
I can't speak very well.
Yeah.
I tell people, I know he's had some kids go through the school, I think he's through it. I knew from that testimony, like you were saying, I knew how to tell that.
Yeah.
I was one scared church captain.
Yes, sir.
I was one scared Yankee.
Yeah. Sure.
I didn't have to come on to the famous occasion. Because Wednesday morning, that's what I'm going to tell you about it. In 1956, we had some dates and figures I didn't keep any records. Now, by a day of hay, I was feeding cows. I think I ruined that day of hay. The guy drove through and said, Ray, I died for you.
Amen.
I believe John 3:16, after he put the Christmas trees on the door. That didn't put Christmas verses. I put cross there in John 3:16. I believe that Jesus Christ died. God so loved the world He did for me, God's Son. But don't we all believe that?
Yeah.
That was
just words. Yeah.
You had to get down personal. What matters for you?
Do it.
Jesus Christ didn't die for the elect. He didn't die for the world. He died for me.
Yeah, it's a good thought. Dan, you have your hand up.
I tell folks that I didn't believe the Bible. The Bible was raised in church.
Sure.
I knew something was missing.
Yeah.
God sent somebody. I left the church without playing in bar rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Young lad.
Sure.
And so God sent somebody along with the Bible. Showed me that I needed to be born again.
Amen.
Playing college football at the time, and I did it in my sleep. I lay awake at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, tossed on my bed, couldn't give me peace.
Yes.
God was day and night dying. God's hand, Psalm 32, was heavy upon me.
Oh.
Heavy. I thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
One Sunday morning, I walked into the little Baptist church, and then in there before, I was thinking what you were saying tonight, how God has things planned.
Yeah.
My mind went back.
Yes.
How he planned that. Never been down that street. Never saw the building before.
Hallelujah.
And the preacher asked me at the door after the service, "Are you saved?" And I told him, "I don't know."
Yeah.
You don't know how. You don't know when you're lost or saved. Until you get saved, you realize how lost you were.
Exactly.
But I tried all kinds of ways to get peace when I got to heal my soul. Asking people to forgive me, to return to things, doing stuff that I probably needed to do. I was convicted.
Yeah.
But it didn't give me the peace. That day, when I walked home from the church, he walked with me back at his office for a long time, trying to get me to say the sinner's prayer. I didn't say it either.
Yeah.
Finally, God broke my heart. And I fell out on the floor and I said 4 words. Oh, Christ.
That's enough.
Something was different from that.
Yeah.
Church that day.
Hallelujah. Well, we've had 4 of us older people. Boy, let's have 4 young people. Just don't all you young people jump up now. You have a traffic jam. Hey, if you can't testify here, you can't testify out there. Anybody tonight? I won't put you young people on the spot. Some of you got scared to death. Anybody else tonight? Paul, thank you, sister. Well, you ain't that old.
Yeah.
sure.
But what did happen is he got me in the Word again.
Amen.
And he got me reading. And when Jesus came, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing
sure.
the Word of God. And little by little, he gave me an assurance that he was in my life. It doesn't mean that I've always had peace about being a Christian. I got the periods in my life where I had doubt.
Sure. Amen. Thank you, sister. Someone else tonight? I don't want to leave you out. I hate for you to have to get up in the middle of the night and come over here and give your testimony in this building that be empty because you can't sleep wishing you had a. Anybody else? I don't want to leave you out. I was thinking about years ago. I was in Cocoa, Florida in a Jubilee meeting, and I did something similar like this here tonight. There was a young girl there, about the age of some of you teenage girls. And she looked puzzled while people were giving testimonies of how God had saved her. She never said anything. She never did anything. Service ended. We all went on our merry ways. I remember going back the next year. She met me at the door. She said, "Preacher," she said, "last year when you were here and asked people to tell this story about how they got saved," she said, "I didn't have a story to tell." She said, "but since last year," she said, "I got a story to tell." And she said, "I want to tell it." You know, if God's ever saved you and you don't tell it, you ought to really question what you've got. Because you may just have religion tonight. And we certainly need to tell that old, old story. And if we can't tell it here, well, where can we tell it? Father, we thank you tonight for your word. It's a powerful word. We thank you for including Zacchaeus in Holy Writ. Lord, I can certainly identify with him the day you treed me and called my name. It was an effectual call that I could not turn down. And I thank you. It was all about what you did. It was nothing about what I did. I thank you for these testimonies tonight. I pray, God, that you would burden all of us tonight to be willing to tell the lost. Oh, Lord, we don't have to be great theologians and know all of the original. Lord, we could just tell people what God did for us and how he changed our lives. That would be such a simple story. Help us to tell it wherever we go. Yes. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.